News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
A lot to get to here on FM Talk 106.5 on Mobile Mornings. My name is Dan Brennan. Dalton is back. Glad to have you back, buddy.
Thank you. It's funny. So we had our due date on February 5th. For our second child, and I have three very close friends that were all expecting their first children, and all three of these close friends had due dates before our child's due date, and ours beat all three of them out the gate. I was going to say out the chute. Probably shouldn't say that on the morning show, but our child beat all of them out there, so it's just... I guess she wanted to let everybody know. I kept telling everyone in the hospital that she just wanted to see what this 2020 thing was all about.
She didn't want to wait.
It's been such a year.
So your child, newly born, between the getting here earlier than the other ones, mm-hmm. plus acing the hearing aid,
yes.
the hearing test, she's getting a gold star and she's barely born.
Yeah, everything.
Just put her in a classroom setting right now. She'd be at the head of the class right now.
She's ready for school. And, Keith, so I named her Peyton. Orwig, or my wife and I named her Peyton Amelia Orwig, and Keith said my brother named his son Jarrett after NASCAR driver Dale Jarrett. I think, everyone's assuming that I named her after former Tennessee Vols quarterback Peyton Manning.
And?
Well, they assumed correctly. I haven't told anyone that's who I named her after, but so many people already know. So
how compliant was your wife with the idea of naming your baby daughter after a quarterback that hangs out with Brad Paisley?
She was all for it. Did not put up any fight at all.
She just likes the name, right?
Yeah, well, I'm very convincing. I let her think it was her idea.
Well, if she's listening to the show. So a growing number of incoming House GOP freshmen are going to back up Mo Brooks mm-hmm. and his effort to object to the certification of the presidential election results on January 6th, including... Jerry Carl,
yeah.
who is replacing outgoing Congressman Bradley Byrne. We'll hear from Bradley Byrne here a little bit later on this hour. He was on Sean Sullivan's show yesterday. He had a lot of very interesting things to say. He talked a little nuts and bolts, and he also talked about his perspective on the position and on the country after his 6 or 7 years up there. You can imagine what a life changer that is. You pretty much are. He's represented the area mm-hmm. in Montgomery. He's done some things politically, but being in Washington for 6 years and being in the middle of the most important political machine in the country, it's got to do something to your perspective. And interesting way to spend 6 years, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, and on his way out, as he leaves office, he's still working. There's so much, we normally don't see Congress in session this late in the year.
He's got things to do.
Lord knows Congress likes to take their vacation yeah. days, but not in the year 2020. And, it looks like he's just going to have to be there for votes until he's out of office. But props to Congressman Byrne. He's done a lot for our area, and he has always been willing to talk with the people and come on air and explain the decisions that he's made.
Yeah, that's really true. He's a great communicator, and he was on Sean's show yesterday, come to think of it, on the phone, because mm-hmm. he's up in Washington, right? So in any event, January 6th is going to be a big day in Washington, D.C. We've got Dan on the line. I think he's got some plans for that day. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, no, we're going to be traveling out, my wife and I. And actually, I was calling in to see if there's going to be others from this area traveling that way, maybe through a convoy. I don't know if there's any buses heading that way, but just trying to get a group of numbers from this section going up to D.C. on the 6th.
For the certification or the protest against the certification?
Yeah,
For the rally on the 6th.
Okay.
Yeah, for the when they're trying to steal the election mm-hmm. on the 6th, so we want to be their number. So I'm sure there's a large group in this area, just seeing if there's others going that way and convoy up.
So there already is a rally that's scheduled?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I believe so, and there's certainly people that have texted in that said they're interested in going up to D.C. on the 6th. Not sure if they have made certain plans to go up there, but I know there's a lot of people in the listening audience that would like to be up there for the 6th. So what's the, I've kind of been out of the loop on this a little bit. What's the plan? What's the rally? How are the conservatives meeting up in D.C.?
The plan is to meet up in D.C. and as mass as we can, to show Congress that we're not going to take this. I went to Washington, D.C. on the 14th of November, and it was a massive rally at that point, and I assume it's going to be even larger. The only difference was it was a weekend, and we the people usually work, so you know we're going to have to take time off, but certainly I think it'll be well worth it. It's going to show numbers, and you know it's hopefully it'll be peaceful. Mm-hmm. I did witness on the 14th went up some fights between Antifa and Proud Boys were right there, but they stood down, they stood up to them, pushed them back, and we kept going. So it was peaceful for the most part, but.
Let me ask you, how is it tough to get hotel accommodations up there? I saw a story that I guess a lot of the Proud Boys were staying in one particular hotel, and that hotel said they're shutting down two days prior to January 6th. What about booking a hotel room in D.C.? Is that difficult right now?
No. Well, it depends on where you go. We're staying in Virginia,
okay,
and did not have a problem there. They are starting to book out, you know, outside of the metro area, but... you just take the metro into D.C., and it's a short trip. And like I said, when I went on the 14th, there was quite a few. It was a big group from Florida that was there with us, and it was quite the show.
Dan, if you don't mind me asking, what do you do, and how are you able to get away in the middle of a work week?
Well, I own a business,
okay,
so I'm able to step out from it for a short period of time, let the guys run it. So
okay,
that's not a problem. But you know, right now, certain parts of the country, their businesses are shut down anyway.
Yep.
So you know,
are you worried about the risk of violence at all while you're up there on January 6th?
That's going to be a concern this time, actually. I just don't know what we're going to be stepping into. So. Don't really know. That's why it's good that it be in numbers. You know, if there's others that are going to go up in groups, but I mean certainly it's a concern. You have to be aware of it. But I think from the size of the groups that are there, they should be pretty safe.
Well, be safe, and thank you for listening, and thanks for calling.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Very interesting. So, yeah, I've heard from at least several people on the text line over these last couple of weeks that do plan on going up to D.C. for that. I just wonder, you know, I know a lot of Trump supporters will be up there for this rally. I wonder if the call to action for the Antifa or whoever is rallying for the other side that we've seen mm-hmm. in the past year so many times, I wonder if, you know, it's enough for them to get out there and rally, or if they feel that they've already, in a way, kind of won. And when you think about it, a lot of Antifa people, well, they won't be as excited about the direction the country goes under Biden either. They want it to be much further left, but that's certainly a worry coming up.
I would imagine there's going to be confrontations there. I mean, if you have a handful on the other side, that's enough to instigate something, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be, you know, swapping Christmas cards and addresses and cookie recipes. So if people from the left show up, I think there will be confrontation. 15 minutes after 8 o'clock, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The skies will be partly cloudy across the Gulf Coast today. It will be warmer with temperatures in the lower 70s this afternoon. Tonight, a few showers, lows in the lower 60s. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with showers and a few thunderstorms and high temperatures in the mid-70s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
For WKRG News 5, I'm Nicolette Schleissman. Mobile Fire Rescue staying busy overnight battling two fires, the first at the Regency Inn in Theodore near I-10. The hotel is vacant. No injuries have been reported. The Regency Inn has ties to a drug trafficking operation. In October, 42 people were charged in a Mobile County drug trafficking operation. The hotel was named in an indictment as one of the locations where illegal activity took place. The second, a two-alarm fire at a business in Tillman's Corner. It happened just after 2 o'clock this morning at Bobcat of Mobile on Halls Mill Road. When crews arrived, they found heavy smoke and flames visible from the roof. Hazmat crews were called after diesel and other fluids were found at the scene. No injuries have been reported. Daphne police are looking for a woman they say tried to break into a Lake Forest home just before Christmas. The burglary attempt was caught on camera. Police say they have issued a warrant for Susan Waters, also known as Darlene Hall. If you have any information, call Daphne police.
Your CBD store of West Mobile invites you to shop with no pressure. Sample products before you buy and get honest information about how CBD can actually benefit your health naturally. Visit your CBD store of West Mobile at Hillcrest and Greelot today. The people of Baldwin County believe in hard work, and they take pride in the work they do. The folks at Gulf Coast Tools share these values and are committed to helping you get the job done right. Gulf Coast Tools in Foley offers a wide selection of tools from woodworking to metalworking, including Festool, DeWalt, Bosch, Makita, and Craig. After the work is done, Gulf Coast Tools has you covered as your local authorized Big Green Egg dealer offering all sizes and accessories. Visit Gulf Coast Tools at the Outdoor Center on Highway 59 in Foley and like us on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Martin Andrews with eGuarantee Title Company, LLC. We are excited to talk to the FM Talk 106.5 audience about what we do. Our team has been delivering proactive solutions for your real estate closing needs in Mobile and Baldwin counties for over 50 years. And our employees have over 300 years of combined experience. Our clients appreciate our flexibility in accommodating them with their busy schedules. So let us make the process easier for you. The Guarantee Title Company. We guarantee title. That's what we do.
How good are you at patterning deer? Hi, I'm John Felsher. You might have read some of my articles in many outdoors publications. Well, stand by for another outdoors tip. Creatures of habit, white-tailed deer often behave in predictable ways and travel similar daily patterns according to the season. Studies on white-tailed bucks collared with GPS tracking devices determined that they generally stay in a home range covering about 300 to 700 acres in timbered country like Alabama. Does generally use about one-fifth to one-half as much territory as bucks, but both typically spend half of their time in core areas where they find the best combination of food and security. Find where deer already want to go, and he'll bag more whitetails. The challenge comes in determining that pattern. Game cameras can help, but people can't leave them on public land. On public lands, people need to do their foot scouting. If a person sees a deer frequently in a particular area, it will likely return unless killed or destroyed. No matter how good of a hunter you are, deer can always pattern people better than people can pattern deer. This is John Felsher with your Outdoors Tip, brought to you by FM Talk 106.5.
Good morning from the Premier Medical Traffic Center. Mobile Police Department still not working any new wrecks at New Street and Spring Avenue. That's going to be near Ziegler. They've got a fire that's blocked part of the roadway, Bellingrath and Industrial Road. Bayway Causeway still looks great and no delays. Northbound 65 past Saraland. CBD America at 5668 Old Highway 43 in Satsuma. For your health and wellness, they offer all things hemp. If you suffer from anxiety, depression, you may receive relief with CBD America products. See them at CBDAmerica1.com. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
820 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan. Dalton Orwig is back, and happy to have you back. I know Sean's happy too, because he didn't have to look up at 4 o'clock, right?
Oh, man, it's great to be back.
Yeah, good to have you here. All right, here we go. Winter at the Wharf. It's getting better and better and better. Just get on down there, just relax and shop and have some fun. You can ice skate now at the Wharf. That is real ice, by the way. Actual ice where you can ice skate. Kids will love that, too. And this Spectra Light Show, too. It's especially amazing for the holidays. It's twice a night at 6 and 7 o'clock. Get by the Wharf. Enjoy what they've got. The atmosphere is great. You can socially distance. That's not going to be a problem. Enjoy the light show twice a night. Like tonight, be great. And now, as far as what they're doing with their holiday and New Year's, and they've got the kids' confetti drop and reeling in the year New Year's party presented by WKRG, Miller Lite, and Pepsi,
they are monitoring the weather right now. They're keeping an eye on everything. They want to make sure that for everyone's sake, that everybody is safe. So they're keeping an eye on all that. And if there's going to be any kind of change or altering the plans, they'll let you know, and I will let you know as well. But you can also find out more about deals, about dinners, about anything you want to do safely at the wharf. You can do that right now online, alwharf.com. 8:22 at FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, we're talking about Alabama Congressman Mo Brooks' January 6th effort to object to the Electoral College vote certification. And, you know, we've had the story this morning that about a dozen incoming House freshmen plan to vote alongside Mo Brooks on January 6th. And that includes our own incoming Congressman Jerry Carl from right here, and also Representative Barry Moore from Alabama, also Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia, Lauren Boebert of Colorado, Madison Cawthorn of North Carolina, Burgess Owens of Utah, Yvette Harrell of New Mexico, Dr. Ronnie Jackson of Texas, Bob Good of Virginia, and Andrew Clyde of Georgia. So Mo Brooks is picking up some numbers in the House to object to the certification on January 6th, but they need more than just that. If Mo Brooks wants this to be successful, he needs at least one senator to object the certification alongside him and these other House members. And we've done a lot of talking about whether incoming freshman Senator Tommy Tuberville would be that one senator, and he has made the list of the Hill's five GOP senators to watch in the Electoral College fight on January 6th. They said Tuberville doesn't join the Senate until January 3rd, but he's already causing headaches for leadership. Tuberville, who aligned himself closely with Trump while defeating former Attorney General Jeff Sessions, is viewed as the unseating Democratic Senator Doug Jones, of course. He said Tuberville is viewed as the GOP senator most likely to join Brooks' effort. And we've talked quite a bit about that over the last couple of weeks. But the other four senators they mention here, Senator Kelly Loeffler from Georgia, who has a Senate runoff race to win on January 5th before she'd be allowed to object to the certification. Also, Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri, and Senator Ted Cruz from Texas. That's who the Hill believes are the most likely to object to the certification of the votes.
It's a little bit like sports. You know, they're kind of like predicting bowl games.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think this one might win this. It's crazy. It's let's go to phones real quick. We've got Clint from Fairhope is on the line. Clint, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Hey, doing well.
Thanks for calling.
Good. Hey, I was listening to Dan talking about going up to D.C. on the 6th.
Yes.
And I don't understand why y'all, you know, placate people like that, or at least don't ask him, you know, what specifically he's going up there to protest, other than, you know, they stole our election, but
that's what he's going to protest.
Somebody like that. Hey, what specifically is your gripe? You know, why? What would really drive you to go up there and, you know, protest? Because I didn't hear any specifics other than, you know, they're trying to steal our election.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the reason he's going up there.
There's a segment of the population that believes that happened. You could hear that he genuinely believes that, and so that's what they're going to do. Now, placating him, we were just asking him questions. That's what he believes.
But if you say, okay, well, if all the states, I think, have certified the votes, right, and Republican secretaries of state, Democrat secretaries of state, it's gone through that. We've made it through a barrage of lawsuits, this huge evidence that was supposed to come out. It just didn't happen. So, you know, people like Dan, you know, hey, what exactly are you going up there? Why are you still so, you know, up in arms? And maybe it comes down to the fact that we've gotten the lawsuits like Louis Gohmert, who just, you know, say, hey, Pence has sole authority to declare the election win.
Right.
Or, you know, I don't know. We've just gotten so far down this road that now you're talking about, you know, I mean, the Democrats won by 7 million popular votes in a landslide victory in the Electoral College, but it was equal to 2016. So what are we fighting for it?
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, we probably could have delved into his specific reasons for going up there a little bit more. I guess I assumed
it's
his
like
reasons.
We knew what the reasons were.
But, you know, I'm not going to tell the man what to do with his life. If he wants to go up there, that's fine. I won't be up there. I'll be safe, hopefully safe in my home down here in Mobile. But I was interested in knowing what he felt about the risk of, you know, clashes up there, because we've seen that in the past with both sides kind of, you know, getting into it in a way. And, you know, hopefully the police force and whoever they have rounded up there in D.C. to keep everything as calm as possible are ready for that. But, you know, that has to be at the top of most people's minds if they're going up there. You can't expect smooth sailing, I wouldn't assume.
No, and we respect your call.
No. We should expect smooth sailing at this point, this far into the election. So I think we need to just take a step back and say, what are we doing here?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I respect what you've got to say about this, and I understand what you're saying, and that's where we're at. We answered the phone at FM Talk 106.5. There's going to be opinions here, and there's going to be opinions there. We know that everyone is very divided on the result of this election. Most people are. You can say that most people are like-minded like you, and they just see that Biden beat Trump.
Yeah,
many people don't believe that. So we were just respecting his call as we're respecting yours.
Yeah, you know, I think ideally you would hope and think that there wouldn't be, but realistically, I mean, look what's happened the last few times that everyone's gotten together up there. There's been instances of clashes.
I know. Well, if anybody, I guess, on the left or smart, like you were saying earlier, they would just stay home, because why? What do you have to gain at this point? But, you know, when somebody like Dan comes on, just I'd like to know, hey, what specifically would you like for them to do? Would you like for Pence just to declare the election for Trump? Is that where we're going, like with Louie Gohmert's lawsuit? Like, where are we going here? And what exactly do you want them to do about this?
Yeah, the same could be said for Mo Brooks and that movement as well. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
All right. Have a good one.
Dissenting view from Dan and from many of our listeners. And at the same time, I think there probably are a number of our conservative listeners that think it's time to move on. Mm-hmm. Not all of them, but some of them do. And there's no telling. He may have been a conservative himself. He didn't declare one way or the other. But we answer the phone, and that's what we do. We let you talk.
Yeah, exactly. It's called, you know, our tagline for the longest time, I believe still is turning up your voice. We want to hear what you have to say. And I guess we could delve into the specific reasons why each individual would like to go up to D.C. Yep. on January 6th. Mm-hmm. But I kind of left that unsaid, because I think it's pretty – I mean, he said it when the first caller, Dan, said it when he was on the air, that he believes this was a fraud election. And that's why so many people – I don't know how many people, but that's why so many are going up there to this rally or rallies, is because they all have the same opinion that this election was stolen. Whether that's true or not, that's what a lot of these people believe. And they're going up there to show their support for Mo Brooks and the caucus of Republicans that he has voting to decertify the Electoral College votes. And, you know, they're hoping that a senator will join Mo Brooks. But there's also people on the other side who are going up there to rally for the exact opposite reason.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people that are in the middle.
And those people are staying home.
They're staying home. They're staying home. It's 8:29 at FM Talk 106.5. Turning up your voice. Interesting conversations right there. Feel free to join in. 343-0106. Dan Brennan, Dalton Erwig, and the show is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5. The band is back together. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig. Now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys, and welcome back. Congratulations about the little baby girl.
Thank you, man. I really, really appreciate it. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on at McConnell Automotive. We're nearing the end of not only the month, but the year 2020. What kind of specials do you have for us?
That's right. We got employee pricing. You know, Gene and I were looking at our inventory in the used car side yesterday, and I don't think we've had this many diesels in a while. So if you're looking for a used diesel, give us a call or check it out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. The phone number is 251-476-4141. We got them all front line ready, looking right at beautiful on Dolphin Street. Also, don't forget, we've got a great body shop back there. Gary and the guys and the girls will take care of all your unfortunate accident needs, and do your insurance for you, and they'll just take care of you. We've been so blessed to have Gary and those guys back there. They're doing a great job. Also, don't forget, we're going to be here again on Saturday, and the GM employee pricing goes through then, so if you can't get by here then, we're going to be here Saturday, going to have some food, going to have some games on, and we'll rock and roll, and hope everybody has a safe New Year's Eve.
All right, very cool. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That is Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
So, Sean, he got the unclickety mouse now. Unclickety mice.
I think that's what it says on the package, unclickety mouse.
Unclickety mice. We had a complaint from a listener who heard, because she heard our mice clicking. Like, you know, okay. So, anyway, Sean quickly reacts.
Yes.
And says, we're no more of that. Of all the things that happen audibly on this radio station, all the things that are said one way or the other, you would think that a mouse clicking wasn't going to get the ire of a listener. But in fact,
yeah,
it has.
And of course, Sean Sullivan, a very sensitive person. You can't take any kind of okay. Just joking. That man's taken more arrows than anyone I know. But
yeah, he has.
So the unclickety mouse, that's good news. Now my personal mouse over here is still one of those clickety mice.
Well,
so
we'll get around to you.
I'll try to keep it down.
Yeah. It's 8:38 at FM Talk 106.5.
You know, I think we have a caller on the line, and James from Mobile will continue with the calls this morning. Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
And
good to hear Dalton back, although yes. His accents, we've kind of lost that southern accent there. I don't know what's going on here now.
Yeah, what you doing, Dalton? How comes you don't talk like you did?
Baby was born in Maine, so I went up to Maine and got a Maine accent. No, not sure how I lost a southern accent, if that's the case, but appreciate it, James.
Grill him on that, James. I'm not going to do a show with a phony.
Some Yankee.
I don't understand why he don't talk like we do now. You know what I'm talking about? I just don't know what in the world's happening. Hey, guys, a couple of things I want to touch on base with is it's amazing that nobody has had the flu, influenza, any other type of upper respiratory diseases other than the corona. It's amazing on that. I want to talk about the rally.
What do you think about the rally, James?
Well, here we are. You know, we had rallies, we call them now. We had protests back in the 70s for different things. And there were clashes. Blacks sought their rights in voting and their rights in general, and there were clashes. They protested.
Right.
There will be protests. It has gotten, to me, a lot better than the old days because it was totally, when it fell apart bad. And I'm not saying that it don't today, but it's still... My biggest thing about it is this, that, you know, a lot of us feel like our votes didn't matter. A lot of people feel like we're not, especially past the Mason-Dixon line, really recognized a lot. On the news media now, you're getting all sorts of stories, but for almost 3-4 years, all we heard was everything within 30-40 minutes was about Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's a relief from that, but, you know, it's amazing not mentioning about the things that he's done. You know, we always had these, and the other thing was his Christmas address. That was not aired. If it was aired, it was aired only one time, and that was it, where we heard everybody else multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
There is a bias, and that's what the public is mad about. There is a bias, and the news media, to me, influences that. And this is the voice. The best way we can voice is to go up there and do this. I hate the fact that other organizations will be up there and that their tempers will fly.
Yeah,
God
and thanks.
The mix. God should be in this. There should be more prayer on the radios. We always say, you know, we're all in this together. Unfortunately, I'm not. I'm a believer in the Lord. I believe in what he will do for us. I believe we do all the things that we need to do, but unfortunately, a lot of people realize he is the total source of everything.
All right. Thank you for the call, James. And I think that's really what it comes down to. And we had a caller earlier asking, you know, what are the specific reasons that people are going up to rally for this cause that Mo Brooks is championing on January 6th. And that's it's what has been built up over the last 4 years where supporters of President Trump feel like that that everyone from the other side has just been going coming after him one day, one hour after, you know, hour after hour going after President Trump. Yeah. And they feel that they're, you know, that the there was some fraud in this election. They feel that it didn't that not everything is up to snuff. And that's kind of really what it comes down to. Everyone going up there and showing their support for Trump. That's what this is.
Well, you know, so the election is one thing. He can take solace in the fact that he's the most popular American.
Yeah.
Right? That just happened?
Yeah, the most, what was the word? It was the most admired man in America. And
Donald Trump.
I didn't realize that Obama had won 12 years in a row, former President Obama. And
the streak is over.
Tied with Trump last year.
Yeah.
And the streak is over. But Obama's wife, former First Lady Michelle Obama, won the most admired woman this year.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was wondering if this would be like a homecoming king and queen kind of thing where you get voted most popular. And then, of course, we know what the king and queen do.
Got to get your picture taken
together,
right?
The crown and the sash. For some reason, I don't think that's going to actually be happening here.
That would be a flag on the play right there.
And this may be a flag.
Man, I have a flag on the play that I've been... I'm so glad you introduced this little segment.
The play. The listeners, they know this is important because this is getting it off your chest. When you see something out there and you're like, what am I looking at? That's a flag on the play.
I've been waiting for 2 weeks to do this flag on the play. Okay, so my wife, like I said, she went to the hospital about 12, 13 days ago and was put on bed rest. Mm-hmm. So that day I went to get my firstborn daughter out of daycare and take her home, and you know, it was just me and her that night. I was taking care of her. So we did what any dad would do, and as soon as I picked her up from daycare, instead of cooking for her, I went to McDonald's to pick up some food.
Get something healthy.
Yeah, get her some nuggets, some fries, and went through and I said, let me get the nuggets, surprise, you know, this and that. I got my order, and I said, yeah, with the kids meal, let me get a milk. And the person taking my order said, white milk or regular milk?
And I
said,
that's a flag.
I went, excuse me? White milk or regular milk? Like, I was thinking 2%. You know, maybe there was, he said, you know, white milk or chocolate milk? And I went, whoa.
Chocolate milk?
Flag on the play. Don't know, you know, how you were, you know, chocolate milk is not the regular milk. There's chocolate added to what one would call regular milk.
In his world, the chocolate milk, that's the standard. And if you want to go out on a limb and get a little crazy,
yes,
you get white milk.
FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, so you de-syrup the chocolate regular milk, and then it becomes the non-standard white milk, I guess, is what he was getting at. So that was my flag on the play that I was waiting 2 weeks for.
And me hitting the wrong commercial there, that was flag on the play. That was on me right there.
This may be a flag.
But that's kind of crazy, though. Every now and then you run into somebody, and they think they know exactly, you know, in his world,
mm-hmm,
for whatever reason.
Chocolate milk is the standard.
White milk is in second place.
I think it's because, you know, and I had a lot of chocolate milk in my day. No, mm-hmm, no hating on that. But I think there's more kids that go through drive-thrus and get chocolate milk than the standard normal milk.
Now you're offering him some grace. You're saying, hey, wasn't his fault. We're going to talk to Jeff Poore on the way and preview his show, which starts at 9 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5, 849. Hey, this just occurred to me. So we've got new Daddy Dalton, soon to be Daddy Jeff Poore.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can exchange some notes. Jeff, how you doing?
Live the dream, man. Well, or as I would say lately, surviving the dream.
Your show is the dream, man. Listening to
sometimes
your show,
it feels like a dream.
Yeah. So anyway, Dan, surrounded by now Dalton and Jeff Poore.
Yeah, and unfortunately for you, Jeff, not much to talk about in politics these days.
It's an empty cupboard.
It's been this way since 2015, guys. Because
mm-hmm,
I've been at this game a while, this politics game. And used to, you would always could count on the month of August and about the second half of December into January as being kind of slow, unless it was a election cycle year, of course. But you don't get a break anymore. It's just crazy all the time in the era of Trump.
Yeah, and you know, really, I've been thinking about that a lot. And it was quieter with quotes. It was quieter during the Obama administration and really every administration prior that I can remember, which isn't very many administrations. But they were still doing, you know, stuff behind the scenes, stuff that a lot of Americans didn't like. The difference with Trump is that he's so vocal and so out there, and there's so many people out to get him that I think that's why so many people voted for Biden. You know, they might actually be more on Trump's side with a lot of these issues, but they were tired of the quote unquote havoc that has been around these last 5 years. So there's been story after story, but government's still going to government, right?
Government's still going to government. It's just we get this hyper analysis of it, though. I feel like Trump is he's a very different creature in the White House. But you've always had these weird storylines, but now everything is under that microscope.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. So I was just talking to, I just mentioned this on the air, but I think from Fox News, they were looking over different senators that might...
Incoming freshmen.
The incoming freshmen, exactly. They were previewing them, Jeff, like they were talking about, like in the old days, we would talk about different bowl games. You know, like, who's going to win the Outback Bowl?
Yes, yeah.
And it's almost like you were saying, you don't get a day off. Even when there isn't news, there's constant speculation.
Yeah, it's like the pregame show,
right?
But all the time now. It's just, you're not really. There's no game, right?
Right, right.
I mean, if there is a game, it's on C-SPAN on channel 784, and no one really wants to watch the game.
Exactly.
They're more about the pregame and the postgame.
Yes.
And you know, what's funny
is absolutely true.
Lou Holtz can do both. College game day, and then he'll be on Fox News talking about the fraud election.
If I go another day in my life without Lou Holtz in it, I'm okay.
And so, he's a Medal of Freedom winner.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't think they've been able to give it to him yet because he had that COVID scare, but... What Dan was specifically referencing there is this story from The Hill about the five senators to watch on January 6th, because, of course, what we've been talking about for so long with Alabama Congressman Mo Brooks voting against the certification of the Electoral College results, and he will need a senator to jump on board with him in order to force a vote on the House and Senate. And The Hill said that they've got five senators that they said could potentially be one of those to jump on Mo Brooks' side. But another interesting, and Tuberville is included in those five, another interesting story, though, is about these incoming freshman House members who are going to be voting with Mo Brooks on January 6th. And one of those is Jerry Carl, our very own incoming congressman, and also Barry Moore from right here in Alabama, and about 10 other incoming freshmen. I want to get your take on Jerry Carl voting with Mo Brooks, and also how things have changed, where normally people that are, you know, entering the House or entering the Senate for the first time usually don't make bold moves like that, and things have changed.
Yeah, and because the freshmen are supposed to be seen but not heard, mm-hmm. or something like that, I guess. But I'm not as surprised by Congressman-elect Barry Moore getting on the Mo Brooks bandwagon. But Jerry Carl's a little bit of a surprise. I wouldn't have seen that. I think I got him booked for next Monday when we get back from New Year's. But it does. I don't know. I think some of these guys. They ran as, I am going to be the guy that has Donald Trump's back, mm-hmm. particularly in these very contentious Republican primaries where you had two viable candidates, such as with the case of Tommy Tuberville, with the case of Barry Moore, with the case of Jerry Carl. And now it's time to have Trump's back. What are you going to do?
Yeah, that's exactly those are Jerry's words, almost exactly what he's saying.
Yeah, his quote was, President Trump has had our backs, and now's the time for us to have his, as he rightfully pursues challenges to election fraud. So, you know, originally when the talk was that Tuberville would be that senator, once he's sworn in 3 days prior, that he would be the senator to force this vote, I was thinking, my main reasoning behind saying I don't think Tuberville will do that is because he will be a freshman senator, and what will that mean for his relationship with Mitch McConnell or Richard Shelby? But now I think it's even more likely if you see all these incoming House members doing the same.
I think this is such an oversold story about what Mitch McConnell will do if Tommy Tuberville decides to be that senator to side with Mo Brooks. I'll tell you what. Here's what will happen. You'll have the member of the House object to the certification of one state, and then the member of the Senate will, and they go to their respective chambers, deliberate for 2 hours. They come back, and what will happen? It'll end up being a vote for the state of whatever that was objected to affirm the Electoral College votes. At most, you're looking at what, five or six states or whatever, 12 hours. They're not going to penalize Alabama for that. It's gonna maybe make somebody late for their three martini lunch or something. But to say that we're going to lose Space Force, that we're going to lose all this federal money, it's kind of a silly thing.
Yeah, but, you know, they hold grudges up there. And I certainly don't know as much about D.C. as you do, but McConnell has said that, you know, if this happens, that's going to force Republicans to vote against Trump's wishes once again, you know, after they override this veto.
It's going to anyway if they don't object. I mean, that's essentially a vote. If you're a senator and you're sitting in that joint session and you don't object, that's the same as not as voting against Trump. So, I mean, here's what McConnell needs to do and should do, not that he's listening to Jeff Porter, Mobile, Alabama. He needs to work out some kind of deal with Senate Republicans and say, look, pick a state, have your objection, show that you did what you had to do. Because guys like Tommy Tuberville, they have to do this. They have ran on being Trump's back. So, you know, work it out to where it's not as toxic, and then life goes on.
Okay. What's coming up in the show?
We got Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News making it a day early.
I just got his newsletter. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, so State Representative Craig Lipscomb, who's also an architect. I was at Auburn with Craig back in the day.
Who had better grades?
He had way better grades.
I would check.
He's a practicing architect. I just had the building science degree up on the wall. But we were in the same school there at Auburn. But we're going to talk about a new Capitol. A new state house building.
Mm, okay. No more fires in the restrooms.
Well, mold in the walls, all that stuff. State Senator Chris Elliott is making his weekly appearance, and then Yellowhammer News' Sean Ross will be with us.
Chris Elliott a couple of days early because of the holiday, huh? Mm.
So that seems to be the case.
You got to get Chris Elliott in. I get it.
Thank you so much, Jeff, and hope you have your radio shoes on because you're coming on in just a few minutes.
You know I do.
Jeff Ford, the Jeff Ford Show on the way, beginning a little after 9 o'clock.
By the way, radio shoes when you're at your house are just slippers or maybe no shoes at all.
Yeah,
of you that aren't in the biz didn't know that.
I'm in the biz, and I didn't know that. Welcome back, Dalton.
Thanks. Glad to be back.
859 FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Ford on the way next.